for joining our show today.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. My name is Wanda McKinley. I am your host for the evening, along with Stephanie Kennedy Alford. I am the founder of a nonprofit organization called We Are Survivors. We Are Survivors is a 501c3, and our purpose is to provide a stable environment for abused and battered men, women, and children, as well as providing temporary shelter, counseling, and employment training. We Are Survivors' vision is to empower and enhance individuals' view when it comes to abusive situations and learning how to be self-sufficient in society. We Are Survivors is focused on providing and uplifting individuals and showing them what a new perspective of a normal life should be by enhancing and elevating them. I am a survivor of domestic violence. I was molested from the age of 7 to 12, and 7 is the earliest I can remember due to the traumatic event that brought the molestation to my attention. So I know that I was younger, but that's just the age that I can recall. And then from the age of 13 to 18, I was raped by my biological father as well as my stepfather. I thought I escaped abuse, and I met my ex-husband at 19. And he was sexually, financially, verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive, and I was with him for 12 years. God has called me to be transparent so that I may help men, women, and children who may have or still be walking in my shoes. Now, I know I'm getting ready to say hello to Stephanie, and I do know she is out and about running errands, so we may hear a little noise in the background, but it should not last that long. Stephanie, how are you doing today?
I am wonderful. What about yourself?
I am sleepy, but I'm excited about our guest. I'm super, super excited.
I am too. We step for her.
Yes, it is. I'm so proud of her. She has no idea. And because we have a special guest today, we're going to do our fundraising opportunities. I'm going to use that word. Fundraising opportunities for last. And do want to touch bases about some of the events that we have coming up. What is this, end of March? So I do know we have the one that is really important. Well, I have a lot that is important. I do want to support and I don't want to say shout out. I do not like to use shout out. But my designer, Miss Tina Peters King, is having she's involved in a women's conference, which is actually April 8th, and I will be there because I am modeling in that show. So when it comes closer, I will have more information. She will also be on our television show, which is April 7th, that Friday leading into the two-day women's conference that she's a part of. I do want to also acknowledge the fact, April 15th, Unique, who is also a survivor of domestic violence, has it's a short film, short movie actually, called Shattered Love, and she actually produced this. And I see Tanisha is going. It is Saturday, April 15th from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m., and that's at Space Studios on 1499 Regal Row, Suite 505. And this is actually a private screening, so I think if you had not already checked that you were going, I do believe last week she had one seat left. So if you didn't get that seat, I'll be talking about it. You've missed out. We have a one-mile walk May 6th, Saturday, May 6th. That's part of the One Run Women's Conference. And that's at 8 a.m., 8 to 2. That's also get more information to you when that becomes closer. Then we have what is really important is the second annual Survivors Luncheon. And this is going to be a very nice event. It is a free luncheon for survivors. This is the second year. We are survivors, had a table last year. We have a table again this year, and I was just told Saturday that I'll be speaking about 3 minutes because the organization will be acknowledged. That is Saturday, May 13th, 2017. It's from 11:30 a.m. to 1. It is at the Hilton Garden Inn, 800 North Main Street, Duncanville, Texas. It's business casual. You have to register. You have to register before April, on or before April 13th, because even though it is free, they need a head count. And you can go to www.anniesgiftsoflove.org, and that's AnniesGiftsOflove.org. It's a free luncheon. And, of course, we've got a couple of more we want to just throw out there. July 21st and 22nd, we have the Run Women's Conference that We Are Survivors is also being acknowledged. So you want to put that on your calendar. And then, of course, we have our Humongous International Women's Conference, which is August 25th and 26th. That is becoming very exciting just to see it all come together. You do not want to miss that. And that is August 25th and 26th. Of course, as it gets closer, we'll give out more information. We have a few other things that are scheduled, but as those dates, we have a couple of things in October. When they become closer, then I'll bring those up as well, because one of the events has not been set in stone yet. But I promise you, when we had it in 2015, it was a moving event. You don't want to miss it. The spirit was so high. It was awesome. Now, before I get to my special guest, I'm so excited. I do want to let people know We Are Survivors now have a television show, and it's called We Are Survivors with Wanda McKinley. It is actually every first and third Friday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, for those that might be listening in Dallas, Texas. And we do have a Facebook page. It is We Are Survivors with Wanda McKinley, which is pretty much the same as the radio show. And you can watch us live on there, or you can go to powerplayradio.com, push the live Power TV button that they have on there, and you can watch us on the Internet. And we, it's been a month, and the outpour and the support is amazing, but we want to keep plugging and let you all know that listen to the radio show, we thank you. But now we also have a television show, first and third Fridays, that you can actually see our faces. You can't see our faces now. So, you know, we can be in our pajamas, and you would never know. But on our television show, we actually have to be dressed because you actually get to see us. So just put that on your calendars, the first and third Fridays. Now I'm going to stop talking because I'm going to introduce my special guest. This young lady is 19 years old. So for those that are listening already, you ought to be thanking God because she's 19. She is a proud survivor. I know those who follow me, I have my hashtag, I am a proud survivor, because I didn't ask what happened to me to be done. And when I met this young lady, we both didn't know what was going to transpire. We didn't know what was going to take place. And because she didn't know me and I didn't know her, I'm a hugger, show love, because so many times over the end of my life, I've been taught the wrong meaning of love. And as an adult, I now can truly love someone on my own accord. So when I reached out to hug her, She kind of looked at me and she was like, well, I don't really know what to do. Me being me, I understood because I am a survivor. I thank God because at the end of our meeting, we bonded because little did she know we had so many similarities. And she's a beautiful young lady, beautiful. But like so many other survivors and victims, we feel like we're by ourselves. We feel like no one understands us. We feel like this only happened to me. How could anybody understand? But when God is in the mix, when he has his hands on you, and when he has ordained what you're doing, it is amazing to watch him work. Because when we left where we met, she hugged me. And I don't think, till probably this moment, she knew how much that meant to me. Because the walls and the barriers that were there have been brought down. Because now she knows and realizes we're on the same playing field. We're equal. I may be older, but we're equal. And so I'm really excited. I'm really proud of her because it takes, for adults, it takes a lot of courage for us to talk about what has occurred to us. Without further ado, I am going to introduce to you all, I already know her, Tynisha Wade. How are you?
I'm good.
Great. Thank you for coming on our show, hon.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to tell my story.
Oh, no, it is truly an honor. I am so proud of you. And just even the short time that I've known you, the leaps and bounds and the growth that you have already done. And what about, has it been a month? If it's been a month. That's just how much I've seen tremendous growth in you. So I'm really proud of you. And like I told you from day one, you will always have my support and I'm always here for you. And before I sit here and talk to you, just you and I, like we do a lot, I want to be quiet and allow you to tell your story so that you can share your story, because I know one of your dreams is to help other young ladies. So I'm going to be quiet and allow you to talk. It's like you're talking to me.
I don't know where to start.
Start from the beginning. How old your first incident? How old were you? Just from the beginning. However you, whatever age you feel comfortable starting with.
I was nine when my stepbrother attempted to rape me, and I was shocked. I didn't know how to take all that in, especially at such a young age. I didn't tell nobody about it because I didn't know if they would believe me or not or just laugh at me. So I just held it in and had a best friend come along, and she pretty much told my mom. My mom didn't do anything about it. She was just like, well, it's too late. And after that, I just distanced myself from my mom, and a lot of stuff was going on in the house at the time. My mom was cheating on her husband, and I still to this day don't know if it was I really don't know the word for it, but I don't know if it was something that triggered his anger and sadness, but he started drinking more, and he would
take your time, baby. I wish I was there with you.
Just take your time. There is no rush.
He said that I sleptwalk when I probably did. I don't know. But I would have these dreams that I would be being touched. Well, my little brother walked, saw around the corner that I was being touched in my sleep. And at first I didn't believe him until I set it up myself and I acted like I sleepwalk, and which was pretty much like the worst thing to do. But I wanted to see if it was actually happening. So when I did that, he led me back to my room and laid me across my bed and started rubbing my legs, my thighs, and touched my vagina with his finger and actually put his finger in my vagina. And I shot up. And I really didn't know how to deal with that because I looked at this man as like he was my father due to me not having my father in my life. He was a father figure to me until that situation happened. At the time, I really couldn't say anything to my mom because she had just OD'd and was sent to the hospital. So when she did come back, I was in school and I was dealing with it. And I started doing stuff that I had no business doing. I was sneaking out the house thinking that it was okay, thinking that that was going to make me feel better just to get away from the home that I was in because at the time I was miserable. And made the situation worse. They started beating on me, and I got tired. And the worst mistake that I did was fight back. I fought my mom back, and most people will look at me like, that's your mom. Well, yeah, that's my mom. She did give birth to me, but I have to protect myself. I'm not going to have my life taken out because of someone that's angry on the inside with herself. Still to this day, me and my mom, we're not on the right page. And I wish that we were because before all this stuff happened, me and my mom, we were like best friends. We always went out together for girl dates and all types of stuff. And I wish that I could have it back. And I just really don't want it back now because I just don't see her the same anymore. But trying to talk to my mom about the situation still, it doesn't work because her husband said the excuse was he mistake my vagina for a leg. And I could just sit there and I could look at my mom. And it was just sad to me. And the first person that I did tell was his daughter, which I still look to her as my little sister. And I asked her, I said, hey, you know, do your dad have a history of touching women, beating women? She didn't know what to say because she don't even fool with her own father. So it's like pretty much I just ran away. I stayed gone for a long time. I think the max was like about a month and a half, and I was bumping couch to couch, you know, from friends to family, and I finally went to my auntie's, and my auntie read me because she always knew me as a sweet, innocent little girl, and her husband also knew that something was wrong because I was given, you know, signs of I pretty much cut everybody off, and I was shut out. I didn't want nobody to know what happened because I didn't know how it would be taken. But reaching out to my auntie the way that I did, she took me back to the house and made me say what he did in front of him. And still to this day, he does not deny it. And he also would kiss me in my mouth and touch my butt. And my mom still is with this man to this day. And it does bother me because she doesn't need to be with somebody like that. But I can't control what she does because she's a grown woman. But what I can do is get the help that I need because it affects my relationship to this day because I don't trust. And the most thing that I really want to do out here is open up an organization for young women that is going through things that I went through and what I'm still going through. I don't want somebody to hurt the way that I am hurting right now. And that's just one of my dreams. I want to help people. I want to reach out. Even if I feel like something is wrong, I want to reach out and talk. And the worst thing that could happen to a young woman out here is not having a mother in their life, because they either choose a man over their kids or they just don't want to have that child. But mine is because she chose a man over her own blood. I don't know why. And personally, I don't care, because I'm still going to do what I have to do. And it's time for me to put on my grown woman panties and grow up. And most people might be hearing me right now, but I just want to say that it's okay. It is okay, because I know that God has me, and I'm definitely sure that he has you. And it just really hurts my heart if anybody is going through this right now, because I know exactly how you feel, and you're not alone. You're not alone at all.
Now, you said that you don't trust anyone anymore. Tell us how that has affected your relationship.
Give us some examples. It affected my relationship because I always felt like he either wanted something from me or was using me. I felt like my mom was using me because I have a disability. And I had no idea that I was even getting SSI. And I felt like that was like a run for my money. And it hurt my feelings, because she didn't use the money on me. She used the money to supply for herself. I don't trust men like that, because I never know what a man wants from me. And most men try to control me, and I feel like in my relationship that he tries to control me, when really he doesn't. He really wants to help me. And if it was not for my boyfriend now, I wouldn't even be here. I've tried so many times to take my life, because I felt like the pain was so hard to get through with. But due to him and his mom pushing me to believe in myself, it has opened my eyes to see so much clearer than what I was seeing before.
Wow. You know, you still bring tears to my eyes, because I know there's been an incident where, and we discussed this when we first met, about your anger and how you become enraged. Can you talk about those incidents?
The most thing I hate is being lied to. Lied to, because that takes away all the trust that I've built with another person. And my mom has lied to me so many times, and I really couldn't say much, because, you know, a child has to stay in a child's place.
Mm-hmm.
But even trying to talk to my mom about the situation, it still resulted into fights, and it was kind of difficult. And I decided to put myself in foster care, and it was the most difficult thing that could have ever happened to me, besides the situation of being molested and beat on. because it's bouncing house from house, living with girls that steal from you and just steal from you and lie on you and stuff. And it pretty much brought anger to me because my mom neglected me. My mom abandoned me, and I felt like I had nobody, which brought a lot of anger to me. And if somebody said something to me or they did something to me, even if they lied on me, stole from me, I would be ready to fight. And that's what I'm dealing with right now, because I'm learning to communicate and how to talk with one another, because if I assume something, it will start up an argument between me and my boyfriend, and it will result into a real big fight. And that hurts me that we get into fights, because he helped me. He helps me out even when we are into it. He still checks on me and he calls me and stuff. My mom, she don't call me like that. And I don't call my mom either like that, which most people out there probably like, why? Well, it's because so much has happened between us. I feel like I shouldn't come to her because I'm the child. But if I have to, which I've done before, I feel like it's just a waste of my time, which just adds more anger to the problems, which isn't encouraging, but that's on my behalf. But don't do what I do, because that's just going to make the situation worse between whoever you're dealing with, which is why I'm working on myself, because I really don't know how to word it, but I'm not in a good right now. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm reaching out for help, because I need that help, because I want to be a better person.
And I can and will vouch for you, because I know that you want to be better. You want to be different. You want the anger and the hurt to... We as survivors, the anger sometimes is not as painful as it is every single day. There are your moments, and I know as a survivor, I will have those days. But I know that you really want to do and be better, because when you had an incident between you and your boyfriend, you did call me. And like I've explained to you, it doesn't matter what time of day. If I don't answer, call me back. And you did that. And we talked. We talked for over an hour. And one thing that I've learned from you is that, yes, when you communicate, and you also learned and acknowledged that when you talk, then you clear your mind. You start thinking better, clearer, and straighter. And the anger goes away. And we've both witnessed that change in you. So like I said, I do want to commend you, because there are grown people that still don't acknowledge that, hey, I need to change. But as young as you are, and I tell you all the time, you are so strong. And with that strength, with you being a survivor, it's going to propel you in life, because there are going to be some tasks that come across your path that you're going to think this is impossible. But then you're going to think about what you've gone through, what you have already survived, and know, oh, I can do this in the blink of an eye. Now, even already, you mentioned that you want to help young ladies. You've already done that. Can you share that story with everyone else, the one that you shared with me?
I was on Facebook at, I believe it was 2 o'clock in the morning. And my eyes just spotted out a post, and it said that she wanted to, something was telling her to drive off the highway. I instantly went into her DM, and I text her, "I'm here for you. I don't know you, but I want to help you." And
wow.
Ever since then, I got her number. She called me immediately, and we just started talking because she felt alone. And I recently spoke with her, and after I told her my story of being alone and feeling neglected and all types of other emotions that I felt, she became a friend of mine that now reaches out to me whenever she feels lonely or upset about something. And I don't know what it is that I said to her, but now she's a working woman who don't care if she's alone or not, because I told her, "You're not alone at all, because God is beside you at all times. Even if you're asleep, even if you're awake, He's right there watching over you." Since then, she has been going to church, and I've been texting her every other day, "How you doing?" and stuff, and she'll reply back, "She's good," and she's found friends to comfort her. So I'm very proud of her for who she is now than what she was before.
And I know you said that, but y'all, all of what you just said about being there for someone else, you're proud of her, how she's changed. She's a different person from the first time she contacted you to now. Just that alone. If you just think about, like I told you, you are already changing lives. And you're not, and the thing about it is, it's so natural. And even though you're struggling, you're going through the things in your life where you are putting a mirror up to your face and identifying that these are things I see about myself that I need to change. These are things I'm working on, but yet still, you still reach out to others. And that's why, for me, I just love your spirit. I love the fact, I hate, but I love the fact that your history has made you the person that you are today. And you are going to touch, change, motivate so many people. So many people. And you're going to do it without trying. And that's why one of the things, and I reached out to you about you leading up our teenage group for We Are Survivors, because you're this would be great molding. So when you step out and have your own organization, hey, it'll be firsthand nature. It won't be secondhand nature because you've done it already. And you said that you're not in a good place. That's when God uses you the most. It's when we feel like we're at our lowest point, where we feel like, oh, can nothing else go wrong? That's when God says, "My child, now is the time." It's not when we think we're stronger or we're better, but when God says, "Now," and you're already doing it. You're already doing it. And that's why I just want to commend you and motivate you constantly, 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 constantly praying for you. Because I know the pain. Because I was 19 years old and was going through and gone through some of the things. I was 19 and was pregnant and was going through abuse. And I was pregnant. And I was like, oh, my God, what did I get myself into? Then I felt stuck because I'm pregnant. And the thing about you, you are focused on yourself. You are focused on getting yourself together. And Tanisha, I can't stress and express how proud I am of you. God has surrounded you, people that love you. Because your boyfriend's mother, I text her, we text a lot. And I commend her as well, because she stepped into a mother's role to a young lady she didn't have to. And I met her in November, and she talked about you then in November. I had no idea the young woman I was going to meet. But you're surrounded by love. And I just want to say thank you for all the things that you're doing. I want to continuously support you and be that person that you can turn to, that person that you can call on, that person when you're feeling those enraged moments, for you to call me and we'll talk through it. Because one thing I keep stressing to you, God has something in store for you. And what I don't want to happen is that one moment when your rage becomes bigger than you, and then you act out on your rage, and that split second changes your life for the worst. That is why I always tell you, I don't care. You call me so that we can talk through that situation. And we both know once you talk through it, you calm down. So I will always reiterate to you, I'm always here. I'm going to open up the lines, too, because I do see that there are some survivors that are on the line, and I want to give them an opportunity to say something to Miss Tanisha. If you want to say something, the line is open. And do not have me call you out, because I know who you are. Okay. Miss Fields, are you going to say something?
Oh, God. I said she's probably talking to somebody.
I'm talking to you. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Now, Ms. Fields, I know your story. Oh, my gosh, I know your story. And if you don't mind, just share, can you share a smidget with Tanisha? Because I need her to know. You and I, you know, we, I'm not going to say up in age, but we're older than her. And she has a support system of survivors. And can you please tell her your survivor story?
Yes. I am the last survivor of the bathtub murder. And it was just like a horrific thing for me. I woke up one night and this man was in my house and he raped me for almost 3 hours. He was in my house and it was too much to bear on my own soul. And after dealing with that, he ended up being killed on my birthday. But for years, even after he was killed, I struggled with the fear of that and all of the emotions that came with it, the anger, you know, the questioning God and everything. I went from dealing with that issue to getting into a very bad abusive marriage, and to the point to where I knew he was mad when he walked in the house. I knew that was going to be a day I was going to get beat up, you know, but I had to just depend on God and make up in my mind that I just did not want that anymore. And that once I got past that part of the terror from the situation itself, I had to make up in my mind that I was going to not let that take over my life for the rest of my life. And it was a hard thing because half the time you're scared. The other half of the time your self-esteem has been broken down so low that you don't even feel like you can muster up your own strength to stand and fight for yourself. But once you make up in your mind that you are strong enough, that you are enough, and that you love yourself enough to fight for you. And just know that there's nothing that can hold you down or keep you bound. And it's just the trick of the enemy to keep you bound in that and make you feel like, you know, you're by yourself or you're all alone. And that whole situation from rape to molestation to abuse, you back your own self into a corner of being alone. And so you feel like you're in this by yourself, but it's really a barricade that we make ourselves. And I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you shut yourself down to the world because you feel like you can't trust anybody. But at the end of the day, let me tell you something, girlfriend, you got this. If it's just you and God, you got this. You can scream, you can shout, you can cry, whatever you want to do. You can write yourself letters, you can write letters to God, and those are the things that I've done and that I still do that give me strength. I find one scripture to stand on. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? And those are the things that help me fight. I encourage myself daily. I look myself in the mirror daily and I say, you are good enough. You are somebody in Christ. You are a great woman. You are a great mother. You are a great woman of God. You can do this. There is not anything that you cannot do. There is nothing too hard for you to do, because you can do all things through Christ Jesus. Those are the things that I tell myself, because there are some dark places you can go into. But you've really got to speak to yourself. And I know that sounds crazy, because you're your own worst enemy sometimes. I hope I'm not rambling, but you're your own worst enemy sometimes.
You're not.
And yeah, you're your own worst enemy, and then it seems like, you know, you hear yourself telling yourself, I can't do that, or nobody loves me. You know, all of those things are things that I told myself. I wish somebody would just choose me. I wish somebody thought I was good enough to be loved. I wish, you know, that he could just see me and think that I was beautiful, or I wish I was good enough for him. And then I woke up one day and realized I'm too good for this fool, and that's what the problem is. Girl, get yourself together and get on with your life. And now he's calling, apologizing to me, and I'm like, okay, I forgave you. Now forgive yourself and move on, because God gives me the strength daily to go, keep moving. And sometimes it seems like you're in a million pieces and you feel hopeless because somebody made you feel like all the way pressed down into the ground. But you have to allow yourself permission to let it go, because you can choose two things. You can choose to let it go and be happy, have joy, and move on with your life. Or you can sit there and you can choose to let the things that you've been through affect where you're going. I'm dressed today for where I'm going, not for where I've been. I'm not doing that anymore. And so when I wake up in the morning and I even feel a smidget of that, I tell myself, I'm not doing that anymore. I tell the devil, get behind me, Satan. I'm not doing that anymore. The Bible says that I resist the devil and he will flee. I am wonderfully and fearfully made. I am the woman that God says that I am. I am that girl. I am not that woman that anybody is going to push over, and I'm not angry anymore. I'm not angry. I'm happy. You have to speak to yourself and choose that this is over. I am somebody, and it really helps me. And I hope that doesn't sound crazy, but it really helps me.
No, that's not crazy, because I speak to myself, and I tell if I'm upset about something, I talk to myself and I ask, is it really worth getting in an argument? Is it really worth getting into a fight? Is it really worth wasting my time, period? And I'm not going to answer myself, but it's like a voice that runs through my head and say, no, it's not worth it. I read my Bible now, and I would text my boyfriend's mom to ask her about the scriptures, and she would, you know, she would explain it to me, and so would my boyfriend. And still to this day of 3 years being with him, I'm grateful and I'm very happy that they chose to stay here and fight along with me, because if it was not for them, I don't know where I would be, but I'm pretty sure it wouldn't even be good.
I'm just, like I keep saying this because I really am. I've had the privilege, and I don't really think, and a lot of people from the outside are like, how you touched me or how you made a difference. And Tynesha really, I saw me and her at 19. And I told her I didn't have the strength or the courage at 19 to do what she's doing. And it is, to me, remarkable. And that's why I told her whatever she needs, we're going to make sure that she has support. Because she's doing something that many people cannot do. And so I'm just super proud. And Ms. Fields, you did not ramble. Your story to me, to be the last, the living survivor of a murderer, oh my goodness. To live, to be, God was like, no, you're going to live to tell this story. So I thank you for listening and giving her some motivational and inspirational words. Actually gave me some, too, because I was really listening to you. You can't never ramble when you're talking about God, when you're talking about what he can do and the goodness and the things that he brought us through, the things that we endured so that we can share our testimonies, show others that this is what God has brought me through. No, I do not look like what I've been through. And even when I was in church, way before We Are Survivors, I used to hear that all the time. It never registered to me. Never. Now when I hear it, I can jump up and shout and run across the church because I don't look like what I've been through. And yet still, emotionally and mentally, I still go through. I still have my moments where I become angry, but I'm by myself. It's not the fact that the anger is being taken out on someone, but I get mad still because I'm human as to why God this still had to happen to me. But when I come across someone like a Tynesha, young lady, you've really touched me. You really have. And I thank you. I don't know how many times I will thank you, but I do thank you for sharing your story. I do thank you for stepping out and being courageous. I do thank you even at 15 years old when you decided to put yourself in foster care because you felt that was better suited versus what you were going through. I just thank you for even acknowledging the fact that, hey, I'm better than this, even at that age. Now, I know when we talked, our mother stories are similar. And one thing that I am doing, I am praying that that relationship is mended because there is nothing like a mother-daughter relationship. And I explained to you, my mother told me for the first time about 7 years ago that she loved me. I thought it was a joke. I didn't know how to receive it. I didn't even know what to say. And it took me about 2 years to say I love you back, and it still felt funny and sounded funny coming from me. So I understand being in a relationship, a mother-daughter strained relationship. I understand getting into an altercation with your mother. Some people don't understand that, but I understand it because I did it as well. And so that's why I really commend you for saying, yes, I did this. Yes, this happened to me. Yes, I want to be a better person because I'm not going to allow my past to dictate my future. And that's what you're doing. And that's why I say We Are Survivors will do what we can to make sure you're heard, to make sure people of your age group can see that I'm not alone. Because there are so many teenage girls that are hurting. There's so many teenage girls that right now are going through what you've gone through. There are so many teenage girls and boys that feel like they can't talk to anyone because, like you said, they're not going to believe me. Or they're going to blame me for it. They're going to get mad at me. But for someone like yourself to say, hey, I understand you. Hey, I'm not going to judge you. Hey, I'm here for you. Hey, this is what I did. This is what would probably be better because I did this, and this is how that turned out. And because you all are in the same age group, they'll be more attentive to listen to you than an adult. And then to see you, your smiling face, like I said, you are a beautiful young lady. To see you keep your head up, your shoulders back, and you keep striving for better. You keep working towards better. You educating yourself job-wise. Hey, okay, you realize I need to be in a place I can call my own. And you've done all that in the very short period of time I've known you. You're very independent. And that's something about survivors. We are very independent. Sometimes we're too independent because we feel like we can only rely on ourselves because everybody else has let us down.
Oh, my God.
So I just, we're here. We're not going anywhere. Stephanie, do you want to say anything? Stephanie, are you there?
Can you hear me? Yeah, I'm here.
I can now. Yes.
Okay.
Just keep your head up. You know, we're here for you no matter what time. And we really appreciate you speaking up. I was really impressed when you said that you spoke out or spoke up to the person on Facebook. That meant a lot because now that person knows that they actually have somebody to go to. And at the time that you went to that person, you know, spoke volumes right there. So just keep doing what you're doing. And I see you really progressing. And just like you're there for others, then many will be there for you, just like we're there for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ms. Fields, you have anything you want to close out for Ms. Tynisha?
I just want to say the little part that I did hear about your story is so amazing. And I think that it's so real that there are so many lives that you can touch with your age and then being so bold and so courageous because a lot of people don't, you know, you don't stand up for yourself, especially not that young, to get that kind of strength. And that kind of strength comes from above, honey. So he didn't just give you that strength for naught. He gave you that strength for a purpose. And then just stepping out and speaking to other people who need you on Facebook or even people who you don't even know. I mean, it's so many people. I just started this ministry with a foster home with children. And it's like it's a big thing. Like a lot of them don't have anybody and they don't seem like they have a voice. So even to just step up and just take your own voice back and start making those steps to go in the direction for you is great. It's good, especially at your age. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of you, girl. Very proud. Doing your thing. You give me courage and strength to know, you know, that I can do it my own self. Because like she said earlier, sometimes you have those feelings. It's a fight every day. And just because, you know, you feel like, oh, I'm okay today, don't mean you won't have a peak or a valley tomorrow, you know. But you keep fighting and you keep moving and you keep searching for those scriptures. And you know that you got this.
Thank you.
So, Ms. Tynisha, as you can see, you have support, honey. We are here for you. We are so proud of you. We want to let you know that, and like I said, you and I, we're connected. I told you, you won't be able to get rid of me. We've already had a discussion. Because I love you like my child in the very short period of time because we had that bond. And I just want to let you know, once again, it doesn't matter. Because I want to make sure you succeed in life. I want to make sure that, because the devil is going to bring so many speed bumps, honey. And if you're driving really fast, you might fly over that speed bump. And then, you know, when you fly over a speed bump in your car, you come back down, you do some damage, you got to stop, slow down, put it in the shop, and that means it's not being worked, it's not being used. We don't want that to happen. We want God to always be able to use you. And seeing all of that, what I simply mean is we don't want your past to dictate your future in a negative way. We all use our past to change lives, to touch lives, to show people, yes, you've gone through this, so have I. If God brought me through, he can do the same for you. So I just want to make sure when those speed bumps that the devil lays in front of you, because he lays them in front of me all the time, that you approach them with caution and acknowledge whatever that situation may be. So when you go over that speed bump, you come over on the other side unscathed. So you can look back and say, ha, that didn't stop me. We're going to always, always, always have those moments. As Ms. Phil say, we're at our high, and then we can be at our low. You know you have someone to call when you're at your low. There are times when we were at our low, we didn't have someone to call. We called on Jesus. You have someone that understands. And that's what you're going to be for others. You're going to be that light for others that know that they have someone else that they can call, someone that can relate to them. And all of those things that you all do, all the social media sites that you all be on, there's so much, Tanisha, that you can do. I do want to thank you. That hour goes by really fast. I want to see, is there anything that you want to say before we get off the air?
So,
Miss Tanisha?
Yes. Never give up on yourself, no matter what situation that you're going through, whether it's good, bad, just always look up to the man upstairs, because he's going to have your back regardless. Even if you've done evil, he's still going to love you for who you are, and support you and be there for you and make sure that you get through your hard time.
Wow. Honey, God has something in store for you. I get to say that to somebody else. As much as I hear it, I get to tell it to you. God has something in store for you. I love you. I am so proud of you. And I am always just a phone call away. I want to thank everyone that took the time out to listen to this powerful, amazing, strong Tanisha Wade. Did I say she's only 19? In case you didn't catch that beginning, she is only 19 years old. Wow. She will be on our show. Look for to be on a television show so you can actually see her. Reach out to her. You'll be hearing more from her. Promise that. Until next week, you all have a blessed evening. Thank you for joining our show. Good night.